Welcome to the morning meeting with Sarah and Jess,
where the tea is hot, the wine is chilled, and no topic is off limits. Pull up a chair and join us. There is room for all of you here.
We won't limit seating, we'll just build a bigger table. Let's begin today's meeting. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Great. It's a great day.
Good. I'm glad. It snowed today. So
yeah, I was just going to say that. The sun could come out if it wanted to. Other than that, we're doing good. We're doing good.
How is your week going?
Great. We had a very fun, exciting week. It was so nice to get out of the house and just in general socialize.
Yeah, it's a nice treat, and it was a nice treat that we were able to get out together, and it was a nice treat that we did our first on-location podcast recording, and where we were was just so lovely as well. So on this week's agenda of the morning meeting, Jessica and I go live on location at Island Folk Cider House to record our chat with Jill McPherson, the owner of Island Folk. Jill is such a joy. We had so much fun. We laughed so much, and there was some learning curves in our first recording, differently than how we have been thus far, but I think we figured it out. We tweaked it a little bit, so you may hear this episode may sound a little different to you if you've been listening to all of our meetings so far, but I think it will still be an enjoyable one, especially just listening to Jill's experience and her path to the cider house. It's just so interesting.
And P.S. say Island Folk Cider House 10 times fast because I cannot get it right.
Jessica has a little trouble with that this episode.
It just rolls right off your tongue and I'm like getting it wrong every time.
Funny. Yeah, so we got to take a tour of the cider house. We got to sit down and chat with Jill. We got to drink some delicious ciders and try all the flavors they had on tap and in the tap room. We got to see where it's made and how it's made.
So fun.
And then we got to sit And then we got to sit down with Jill and ask her some questions, learn about her adventures that led her here, learn about the adventure in opening a business and becoming an entrepreneur. And then we hit her with our morning meeting questions we ask everyone and end with a couple of would you rathers that just had us pretty much cider coming out of our noses.
Honest
from laughing
to God.
So hard at Jill.
Honest to God. Oh my God. I didn't think I was going to come back from that. I was like, I can't finish
so
the
funny.
Podcast. I'm just laughing way too hard.
Yeah, that was some audible laughing for sure. It was funny to see how the spikes in our track when I was editing the episode, because it was the laughter was just literally off the track. Like it was so loud. So it was quite funny. But we had a good chit chat with Jill before we dove into the questions, the official interview. So Jessica and I thought that we should just get right to the episode. So we would like to introduce our next guest at the morning meeting. And this week around our table, we invited Jill McPherson, owner of Island Folk Cider House, to come and chat with Jessica and I, Jessie.
This first line just speaks volumes. So Jill's commitment to creating positive community change is part of her DNA. And wow, did that show during the interview. She obtained her master's degree in international development studies, focusing on food, sovereignty, and agricultural co-ops in Cuba. This research earned Jill the program's gold medal for excellence in fieldwork and research. While completing her master's, Jill moved to Mongolia to work with herders' cooperatives on value chain development, and upon returning home, she managed two multi-million dollar research grants from the International Development Research Center, focusing on food security and community health in Kenya and Uganda, respectively. Jill's academic and professional pursuits have taken her across the world, building local agricultural systems and community resilience.
More recently, however, this passion for community development has been focused closer to home. Jill was a founding board member of the Cape Breton Food Hub Co-op, a multi-stakeholder cooperative connecting consumers to local food producers, and Cape Breton Voices, a volunteer group of women leaders that conduct research, develop programming, and advocate for policy change to support more women in entrepreneurship and governance. Jill's love of entrepreneurship, small business, local agriculture, and community development culminates in the development of Cape Breton's first cidery, Island Folk Cider House. Jill's goal is to positively contribute to the local economy and also the social fabric of Cape Breton Island. We're so excited to welcome Jill McPherson around the table for this week's morning meeting.
We hope you feel as welcomed as we did around Jill's table and that you enjoy the episode.
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
This is so exciting. We're at the Island Folk Cider House.
I know. We've been waiting. It's so exciting to be here. It's amazing
in
here, Jill.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you here.
We are so happy.
The vibe in here is beautiful.
I know. I could spend all day in here.
It's
really
nice.
I tell Jill that anytime I'm able to get out of my house, I come here.
So we spent your first date night here.
We did spend our first night here. Actually, speaking of our first date night, we were on that date night with Jessica and Daniel. Was that one?
Yeah.
Do you know what happened that night? Lucky us. You know what happened?
Are we going to share?
Should we share?
We should.
Jill, that night we went home. We had the liquid courage to record our first podcast, and we named the podcast.
Are you serious?
I swear.
That is amazing.
We were full of the cider, yeah. And we just said, you know what? Let's do it.
We've been talking about it for so long, and we were like, we have to do it. We're together. We're here. Let's get the mics out. We didn't have a name. We're like, let's just do it. The name mm-hmm. will eventually come to us. And within like 3 minutes of that recording, we named the pod.
Which... that episode isn't aired, no. Obviously.
No one will ever hear that.
We didn't know what we were doing, and we also came here at 6 o'clock because we were like, that should be a good enough amount of time so we can get lots of fun in, lots of conversation in, get tucked in at a half-decent hour. Didn't work.
No.
So all that happened is we were drinking since 6 p.m. until
sometimes
1 a.m.
that's all you need.
I know.
And then we got on the podcast. So you can understand why we're not going to... not going to publish that one.
No. We might share the clip of us naming it, though, because I think it's pretty special that it happened after a night at the Cider
exactly.
House.
Exactly.
And now we're back here where we started.
We can provide the booze anytime for any future ideas.
Amazing.
Good to know.
Be careful what you offer there, Jill. We just had a tour of the Cider House, and if you haven't been here yet, I don't know what you're waiting for, but you should come here immediately. It's incredible. Like Jess said, the vibe in here is awesome. The plants in here... Jill,
thank you very
amazing.
Much.
Amazing. You're going to be responsible for keeping those alive?
Shortly. Ben Young, who works here and wears different hats, he's actually the plant taker, caretaker at the moment. But I think pretty soon they're going to become my responsibility. So let's hope they stay green.
How do you feel? How do you
we'll
feel about that?
Because I kill all my
So why do you have to? This is, are you the right person
I'm most
for this
definitely
job?
Not the right person.
He's working to make your thumb green. Hilarious. We also got a tour of the back of what do we call
area?
That
or some people in the biz call it the cellar.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh, yes. The cellar. Mm-hmm. I like that. Well, we got a tour of the cellar and it is cool back there.
Which those, what are they called, tanks?
Yes, you can call them anything you want. Tanks, fermenters, vats, many different names.
Cool. I was shocked because they were freezing cold, and for some reason in my head I thought they would be hot. Like, I explained this to you. I was like, why can I touch this?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, I figured fermenting was like a hot.
There is some heat generated through the fermenting process, but you don't need to have heat to ferment. Yeah, so fermentation is simply turning sugar into alcohol with the addition of yeast, or you can use natural yeast.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is so fascinating to
when
me.
You say it
science,
like that.
Science, man.
Yeah.
Science. We love it.
Also, you've just heard it. I'm so glad you heard it this soon into the podcast because Jill McPherson has one of my favorite laughs of all time. I could listen to Jill laugh. It just
it's
is
contagious.
It's the best.
Thank you,
I know.
But I apologize to all your listeners.
No, they'll love it. They'll love it.
We have been here since, well, it's a little bit later now. The Folk House is the Cider House.
The Cider House.
Yeah, is closed now. So we can do this podcast. But I'm like, I just want to stay here forever.
I know.
I had just the best hour. I was working on some sleep plans while I was waiting for you to get here, Sarah, and just like sitting around listening to music, just seeing
it has the best playlist.
Oh my god, like it was just so nice.
Of course, Jill was here. That's another shout out to Ben for the music.
That's two shout outs now.
Ben, you're MVP of this episode so far. Sorry, Jill. The typical Jessica fashion, though, we said we'd meet here for 7:30, Jill. You were meeting us at 8, and Jessica texted me at 6:40 and said, I'm on my way there. Should I just wait for you outside? And I was like, on your way where? We're not supposed to be there for another 45 minutes. Jessica's always early for things and I'm usually late. So I was like, no, don't wait for me. You'll freeze outside. Just go in. Go in and do your own thing. Like, you're on your own
but
here,
I need
sister.
To preface that because I've been solo parenting this week and I'm going to be all weekend because my husband is working late and working all weekend, which never happens. So it's kind of hard when he does because I'm just not used to that normal.
Right.
So when he got home at 6:40, I jet set it out of there. I was like, I gotta go. See ya. And he did the rest of bath
start
time.
The car.
And yeah,
start
I was
the
like,
car.
I'm out of here. I'm not waiting any longer.
Another fun fact before we jump into our question period with Jill, but we were just in the, what do we call that? Production area.
Cellar.
The cellar. Yeah. I love the cellar.
Rob's room.
Oh, Rob's room. Tents. That's a good one.
Or Bobby's World.
Bobby's World. That's the winner. Bobby's World. And another fun fact is I helped name one of the tanks. Jill had an awesome contest going when Island Folk was getting started before you opened, I think, right?
Yes, that's right. It was before we opened.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was to name the tanks. We had given our suggestions. And I think myself and someone else suggested the name Debbie.
That's right.
The Deb. The Jill, Deb. You want to talk about the Deb?
She is a superstar.
She is.
I think Debbie is, how old would you say now?
She'll kill us if we say
it. She'll kill us if we
say her age.
So, yes, we won't say it because although she is retired now, she could drink every single one of us under the table and has more of a social life than all of our friends combined.
Literally. Like, when we have our Christmas party, shout out to the Stewarts every year, Debbie's like, well, I'll stop in on my way to A, B, and C. Like, her social calendar is full all of the time.
Maybe we should get Debbie on the pod.
We should get Debbie on the pod.
We should 100% get Debbie on the
podcast.
And she always has the best jewelry.
She does. She's always done up to the nines. She's the best.
Cool little Debbie.
Yep, the Deb.
Debster. Yeah, so Jill, I was snooping around on the website.
Yes.
And I came upon three rules that you had for the Cider House. And I have to say, when I read those, I texted Sarah right away. I took a screenshot and sent them to her and said, like, these rules are exactly what our rules are.
Really?
And how we feel about the podcast and how we want others to feel. So I thought that said a lot. And it made me really excited for this.
Yeah.
Because I thought, like, we're really on the same page. We have the same values. So maybe share for the listeners what the rules are.
For sure. Yes. Well, I'm so excited to hear that our rules are aligned, even though typically I don't think any of us are rule followers.
Yeah.
but I think these ones people can get behind. So
definitely.
The first one is to pull up a chair, meet someone new, which I think came from the idea that we really want this to be a gathering space where people can come together and meet someone new. We are living in COVID times, so we do attach a disclaimer to that it should be from a 6-foot distance.
Right, of course.
And then we also want people to relax and get cozy. I think that's so important that no matter if you want to come in sweats or get dressed to the nines, whatever is your jam, that you should feel relaxed and comfortable here and that it's like a super inclusive environment. And then the third one is knowing that our door is always open. I think that might be somewhat metaphorical because we can't always have our door open.
We do have hours, opening hours. Yeah.
We do have operating hours, but it's definitely not unheard of that if I'm here when we're not open and someone knocks on the door, I always let them in.
Oh, Jill. Oh, even the neighborhood cats, I understand. Well, maybe not to the Cider House, but to your own home.
To my own home, yes. Her name is Peggy.
Peggy. That's actually one of my best friend's parents' cat. And the other day, they were like, Peggy hasn't come home in days. Will you text Jill and see if she's there? And Peggy is like, has an attitude at home. But like at anyone else's house, she's like the sweet cat.
It's like the typical child.
It's so funny. It's hilarious. Yeah.
Like your kids are so good at daycare.
Yeah.
They come home and they're like little maniacs.
Yeah, it's so true.
Like Tasmanian devils.
So true. Okay, Jill, we're so, so excited to have you and so excited that you've taken some time from your busy life to join us around the table for this meeting. So on the agenda today, we just want to chat with you about your experience, your personal professional life that brought you to entrepreneurship in Cape Breton, starting this amazing business that we all benefit from in the community. And then, of course, we'll end it with some would you rathers in typical morning meeting fashion. So tell us a little bit about what led you to the cider house?
I think that's a great question. And anytime I'm asked, I always wish I had have thought of something a little more romantic. however, I think it really boils down to loving cider.
Yeah.
And I think seeing the successes of businesses like Breton Brewing and other local organizations. So I thought, yeah, maybe this is something possible, something that I can do. And I think, as both of you know, my background has been in international development for probably more than a decade. So I really worked overseas doing community development.
Right.
But I think there came a time when I was in my early 30s that I thought, I want to be closer to home. I want to be rooted in my community. And I think I just wanted to create something here that people could be really proud of and at the same time contribute to local agriculture. And I think for me, it was always important to support local as a consumer, and we still do that through the cidery, but I also wanted to be an active participant in that. And I think now having the cider house, we're able to source all of our apples locally.
It's amazing.
And all of our different ingredients, whether it's rhubarb and maple syrup from Marguerite or honey from Ilma Dam. I think that's something really close to my heart. And I think although it might not seem like there is a straight line between international development and then starting a cider house in the north end of Sydney, I think there are so many parallels in looking back.
There really is. We read your bio in the opening, and when I was reading it, I mean, I knew some of those experiences from being friends with you that you've went on those adventures and had those experiences. But when I read it, I even texted you, like, when I read that all at once, and I said it to Jess too, like, just read this bio, would you? Like, oh, just give this a look over, because this is incredible.
I was mind blown, to be honest.
The work you have done and the experiences you've had, like the things you've been a part of, it's amazing. Like, I hope sometimes you just look at yourself in the mirror and be like, man, I'm
just a pat on the back.
Amazing. Yeah.
Break off.
Yeah. Freak right up. No, you are. And I think it's safe to say that you accomplished your goal. We are so proud of you. So many people are so proud of you. And we're so proud of this cider house to have it here.
Thank you very, very much. You're going to give me perma smile and some tears, I think.
And I'll cry.
So Jill, I know you touched on it by saying that you love cider. And that obviously is ultimately what drove you to opening a cider house. But can you dig a little bit deeper into why cider?
Yeah, I think it's such a good question. And I may regret admitting this later, but when I first tried cider, I thought, oh, I love this apple flavored beer. Yeah. I didn't really know what it was. So then I think having been able to do a little bit more research, like what is cider? How is it made? And at that time, it would have been probably 2016, we did start to see more local cideries pop up, particularly in the Valley in Nova Scotia. And before that, we really only saw kind of big brands like Strongbow and things like that. So I think starting to see some of those successes closer to the Valley, I thought, ooh, maybe that's a great way to kind of bring cider to people in Cape Breton. And I think although cider was so popular hundreds of years ago, through Prohibition, it kind of lost its popularity. And Johnny Appleseed actually planted apple seeds to grow apples for cider.
No way!
It's like a really cool long history.
Wow!
There's a story, I think, that it was super helpful in like winning wars, because
okay.
You add cider to your drinking water and it would kill the bacteria.
Oh.
Yes. So maybe that isn't exactly why I decided to do cider, but
motor.
I'm not planning any wars, but I think it just had such an interesting, rich history. And I thought, what a great product, a delicious product, and something that can be made from local apples. Mm-hmm. So right now we do source all of our apples from Kentville and surrounding area, but I think there's also a huge opportunity to get more apples locally and kind of build on those supply chains. So I think although that hasn't been something that we're able to execute right now, it's always been kind of at the forefront of our decisions. Like, how do we support more agriculture here on the island to kind of integrate those supply chains, which I think is so important.
Wow.
Right.
And you had experience. You were part of the Cape Breton Food Hub. You still are. You were originally?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it is a pretty amazing organization under the amazing leadership of Alicia Lake. So it's a multi-stakeholder cooperative, so you can be a member as a consumer or a producer. So it's a way to kind of link producers and consumers together across the island. And it does so many different things, but essentially, as a consumer, you can order products made locally online.
Yeah,
and we just get it picked up.
Once we did that during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah.
And it has so, it has, I think, done so much to change the lives, I think, of consumers and producers as well. I know we've heard stories of some food producers being able to quit their off-farm jobs.
Wow.
It was able to increase their market.
Wow.
And, I mean, you get to feel good about, like, sourcing. Yeah. This local, delicious, high-quality product. And I was involved, I think, from the beginning as a consumer member because I like to consume Food Hub food. and also volunteering, so kind of packing the boxes each week for people to pick up. And that was so fun just to see how excited people were to get this, like, beautiful, colorful food.
It's so amazing. You know what? The more and more I just focus more at home and talk to more people and learn more things. There are so many cool people doing so many cool things in Cape Breton.
There really,
isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, it's
there
just...
really is. It's pretty incredible.
The island is alive. It really is.
I agree. And I feel like even in the probably the last few years, I feel like there is this renewed sense of what's possible.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. Entrepreneurship, too, I think, has just really boomed here. Among women as well.
Yes.
I think we've seen a rise in that. So maybe talk a little bit about some of your experience as a female entrepreneur in Cape Breton. Like, did you see yourself here one day? Like, you know, past Jill, did you think you'd be an entrepreneur in Cape Breton?
No. And I think sometimes I don't like to identify as an entrepreneur. And I think before the podcast, I was trying to understand why is that. And I think for so long, there's always been this idea of, you know, the cult of entrepreneurship. It's an individual.
Right.
Has all of these outstanding characteristics that are, like, able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and do these things.
Right.
But what I feel entrepreneurship is, and particularly among women, is really bringing people together to achieve something great.
Oh, yeah. Jill.
Yeah, I got chills.
Yeah.
Dolls.
You nailed it. Yeah,
that's so true.
And I think that's kind of what has been so essential for me. There's been some things that I've been able to do, but I think in thinking about my support network of, like, especially amazing badass women that have been able to help me find a space,
right,
or navigate different support systems, or, like, where to go for legal advice, you know,
right.
That didn't come from inside me. That really came from the support around me.
Right. So. But you were able to access that and tap into it and take your idea and bring it to life with, like, community in mind, you know? And I think you just, what you said so eloquently, that just, like Jessica said, gave us chills. But that idea of, I think when women are involved, that, like, focus on connection and community is at the forefront. Like, it's not about that individual attainment. It's about what we can achieve together, I think.
Exactly.
That's some powerful stuff.
That's why women can go so friggin' far.
Yeah.
Because we know
it
takes a village
right.
and a team, and you do better the more people you have in your corner.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so as well. Amazing. Yeah.
That's incredible. You know, I find it interesting that you struggled trying to think of yourself as an entrepreneur or why you didn't want to label yourself as that. And I wonder, too, if it has anything to do with, like, imposter syndrome a little bit. Like, women aren't as comfortable to say, like, yes, I am an entrepreneur. I remember, Jessica, you not that long ago had called me an entrepreneur or said, like, a small business owner or something. And, I mean, I am very new and very small and just started a little side business. And I feel the need to minimize that.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, wait, why are you saying
that? But you were just speaking to that reason, Jill, because I was like, well, I'm not – I feel like I don't own that title yet. Like, you don't get to call yourself
that. I said this to Daniel, my husband, the other day. I was like, wait, am I an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. And I was like Googling it and I was like, am I all of these things? I'm like, I started a business, but like, is it really like an actual business or is it just like,
why do we do that like, to ourselves?
Why do I do that?
Yeah.
He's like, you're a business owner. You're an entrepreneur, Jessica, yeah. Like 100%.
So interesting.
I still don't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
So Jill, I remember just like being on social media and seeing all of this hype about a new cider house opening and how exciting that was. And I think we were all a little bit like at the edge of our seats wondering like, okay, when is this going to happen? Because it takes time, you know, when you announce it and then by the time you like get your space, get your equipment, get everything going. And then the pandemic hit. Just as you were about to open, I think, right?
Yes, that is correct.
She says through gritted teeth.
Right. So can you talk a little bit about navigating through that and how you handled that and how that felt? And
yeah, starting a new business in a global pandemic.
Right.
For sure. So I think we had a few different setbacks along the way, but then we're feeling so good. So we started brewing in February of 2020, being set to open in April of 2020. Ugh. And then I started to hear about COVID.
What the heck is that?
So I did take some comfort, I think, in knowing that we were all in this together.
Right. Yeah.
So then we just kind of had to make a plan because our production was almost complete. Was that all going to go bad?
Right.
All of that investment, you know? So we just took most of what we made and kegged it to make it pretty stable. And then probably towards June, things did start to open up a little bit. So then we started to can our product. And then it definitely changed our vision for what the cider house would be. And we hear a lot about people pivoting.
Yeah.
So we pivoted.
Pivot.
Exactly. So I'd be very hesitant to ever call COVID and all of the awful things that have come along with that a blessing. But I think for us, it did enable us to perfect our production before then moving ahead with different things. And I think had we tried to do our production, open the cider house, be in the NSLC, sell kegs and cans to pubs and restaurants, I think we all would have died. So I think it enabled us to kind of focus on production, generate a little revenue, and then start looking towards the tasting room, which we're in now.
Yeah, which is so lovely. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
my favorite. Yeah, it's incredible.
And you just touched on this a little bit about some of the roadblocks that you may have come to before COVID hit. Talk a little bit about some of that red tape that you had to cut through. I think you had to cut through a little bit of it in terms of some bylaws and...
For sure. Yes. And I think probably one of the most difficult aspects for us had been trying to find a space and wanting to be downtown and contribute to that revitalization. So never losing sight of that.
Right.
But then we were also kind of at our wit's end. And granted, we have special needs for production, high ceilings, slab floor, all of those things. But it was so difficult to find a location. Yeah. And then a great friend of mine suggested St. George's Hall, which is where we are now.
Wow.
So spoiler. And I visited with the engineer. They took a peek at it. They thought it couldn't be more perfect for us. But then when I looked into the zoning, it turned out this was zoned residential, although right next to us was zoned downtown fringe, which would have enabled us to produce alcohol and sell it. So because of that, we had to go through a pretty lengthy year-long process to amend the zoning, which really was just an extension of 40 feet in my mind.
Wow. Yeah. No big deal.
But, you know, it takes a long time. Have to do public consultations and different things like that. And then because we're in the North End, there's also a policy in place for the historic district, which is what we're in. So then we also had to amend the policy for the area. So those two things together took quite a long time, and I think the unknown is probably the scariest thing. So always trying to work towards this goal, but not really knowing what the outcome would be. But then once that was passed, luckily, Although there were some people that weren't on board.
like, tell us more. Like, what? Who? Why? I bet they've changed their tune. Yeah.
Then the hall was owned by the Anglican parish. So then they had to vote unanimously to sell it.
Okay. Yes. Holy moly. There's a lot of moving parts to that.
There were a few moving things. So then they did vote to sell it. So
thank you,
yes. Anglican parish. So that in total probably took a year and a half, maybe a little more.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I decided to be the general contractor for renovations because I have so much experience in that world.
Just one of your hats.
How did that go?
It was a very steep learning curve. I definitely made lots of mistakes, but I will say nobody cared more than I did.
Right, you know, right.
Nobody was more budget conscious than I was.
Right.
So I'm kind of happy I did it.
Good for you.
I don't know if it was the right choice, but I'm glad that I did it. Yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
The perseverance that, like, you just touched on or had to go through or that you have to, like, still manage and, like, trudge through all of those roadblocks. I think a lot of people would have been like, okay, take my lunch and go home. And you were like, no, you saw the vision. You saw the end goal. You were working towards that.
It's interesting that you say that because I think it's something that I've thought about a lot in that I feel so lucky that I was able to take this long. And I think it comes from a place of privilege, you know, like my partner supported me, my mama Trudels. Hello.
Trudels.
She supported me. So I was able to take 4 years to turn an idea into something concrete. But I think if we are serious as a community that we want to support more entrepreneurship and small business, then I think we have to really look at how do we make those things easier.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do we encourage and support that?
And not just through rhetoric, but like what are the real policies that can be put in place? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to hear all of this because to anyone on the outside, you're just looking at, like, look at that Island Cider Folk House.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
like Island Folk Cider
Island
House.
Folk Cider House.
I can't get it right.
I've had too many cider. That strawberry vanilla is so good.
And 6.9%.
Well, there you go.
That gets
you. So, yeah. So I think that, you know, just looking and saying, it's not easy. It's never easy. But look at how worth it it's been.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we're very thankful because we get to benefit from your hard work.
We sure do.
Well, I'm so thankful that you're here. So thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. You mentioned Michael Dahl, your partner.
Yes.
And Jessica and I were thinking about this before we knew we were coming to chat with you. And we were like, I wonder what it's like to work with your partner. Like, are you combining personal and professional? Those lives overlap a little bit here?
Yes, I would say so for sure. And poor Michael, he has a full-time demanding job and then volunteers at the cider house.
Out of the goodness of his heart.
And I think there are some things that we do very well together. So like when we're canning, I think, you know, we put on some good music and we do well. When we're behind the bar together, I'm sure most people can tell that we don't work very well together.
Tight quarters over there?
Yes, exactly. But I can't say enough good things about him. Like, he is my rock. He cans, he labels, he will open the cider house when I'm running late, which I always am. He is a super special human, and I don't think this would be possible without him.
Goosebumps. Now that you are a boss and you're running this and you talked about your village and your team, how is it managing a team? Like, what does that feel like for you in that role?
Oh, that is an interesting question. I don't know how to manage. I know. No, I have no idea. I think they're managing me. I don't... I think everyone is pretty autonomous here. Yeah. I think I've never run a business before. I've never even served a pint until the cider house. Yeah. So I think for me in these early days, we have such an amazing team of people. Ben, who you met earlier, Ange, Emma, Becca, Corey, Rob, of course, who makes all of the cider just so amazing. Amy Sampson as well. So, like, I think having such an amazing team, I haven't had to manage.
Right.
I think it's...
Is lead a better word?
Yes, but I think because I'm a woman, it's very hard to say that.
Yeah, interesting.
Yes, yeah, I think so. I think, like you had mentioned before, about always kind of wanting to minimize yourself in your role, and I find it's even hard to say I always say we.
Right.
Which I think is also true.
That's a good thing. You can recognize that, right?
Yeah. So I think I've had the great opportunity of learning from everyone that's here. And I think we hopefully have a good two-way communication going on. Yeah. So, yeah.
And they're learning from you. You're leading.
I hope so.
Yes, definitely.
Not sure what.
They are. We have to give a shout out to Emma because Emma is a fan of the podcast.
Yeah.
She's so sweet. I was here on Easter weekend and she was talking to me about the podcast. And I texted Jessica right away like, oh my God, someone knows about the podcast.
I find that so strange.
Yeah, just someone in public. Anyway, she's so sweet. And I stopped in last night and got some to go, ciders to go, and Emma was working. And she's like, when are you podcasting here? I said, tomorrow, are you working? She was like, no, but maybe I'll just come in. So I told her we'd give her a shout out. So hi, Emma.
Oh, that's nice. Hi, Emma.
And Emma's been here from the very beginning. So it's been myself, Rob, Mike, of course, as a volunteer, and Emma.
Amazing.
Yes.
We know about the past and the present of the Cider House. Where do you see the future going? Like, what do you want? What are some of the goals you have for the Cider House moving forward?
Those are very good questions. I think to be cash flow positive.
Yes, number one.
I think to create a space where people feel at home. And just can't wait to come here with their friends and family. And I think to create a business that Cape Bretoners can be proud of, you know? And I think to wear Island Folk merch or to drink our product with pride, you know, and to be really proud of us. And I think something that has been very important to me from the beginning is running a business in a very certain way. Like, I think in a way where people have agency, you know, like they are creating the wealth that is in the organization through their hard work and ideas. And I think being able to recognize that and ensuring that people that work here are just as happy and wanting to contribute as our customers that come through the door, that's what I want. I just want this to be a space where people feel cared for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
after that, once everyone's taken care of,
after that, I think I would like to become more well known across the province. And I would love then to also explore outside our province.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The other parts of Canada and then maybe other islands as well. You know, like I think Island Folk is a feeling. You don't necessarily have to be from an island, but
right.
But maybe if you are, like, what about an island in the Caribbean? Or, you know what I mean? Like, is there a way that we could look at partnerships outside of our province and outside of Canada? This is probably a few years down the road.
Yeah, but it's good. Here first.
That's right. That's right. It's good to dream. We'll play this clip back in a few years when Jill's
lodge
in the Caribbean. Yeah, we're getting VIP tickets to that. Definitely.
We're going to be on a boat cruise sipping some Island Folk.
Yeah, definitely.
Can't wait. So I've tried all the ciders here this evening. Yes. They're all good. Hard to pick a fave. I have to say, though, I did enjoy the strawberry vanilla the most.
Yes.
But I'm curious, as the owner, what's your favorite cider in your lineup?
So I'm probably going to steal a quote from my mother, Trudels, that my favorite one is typically the one I'm drinking.
Yes.
That might sound like a bit of a cop-out, but
I love it.
I find it really depends. I find it depends on my mood and what I'm doing. If I'm having a meal, I love the rosé.
Okay.
Yes. If I'm sitting outside, I want to drink the good company or the hopped, you know?
Okay, yeah.
But then I find there's a special place in my heart for all of them.
Yes. Yeah. They're your children.
I get that. Yeah. I get that.
Definitely.
Yeah, you don't have a favorite child, or so they say.
You have one on different days. Like, you know,
Jill
said, depending on what they're up to and what the mood is, you have a favorite. At any given moment, it can change.
There's room in your heart for all of the ciders.
Yeah, that's right. I have a hard time picking a favorite too. I find every time I'm here and get a flight, though, I always have hopped on the flight. Like, I really like it. Strawberry vanilla, love. Mm. The honey lavender, I really like.
It's pretty interesting,
isn't it? Easy beezy. Yeah, so good. And of course, the rosé and the good company as well. And I think, like, the marketing and the imagery, and like you said, it's a whole feeling and it's a whole vibe. It's incredible. Like, you're...
A lot of thought went into that.
Yeah, the visuals that come along with Island Folk are top notch. All the quotes, too. Yeah, it's awesome.
I think at this time, maybe we could give a very special shout out to Allison Uma.
Yes.
Who is an illustrator, graphic designer, graphic novelist, just amazing, best human on earth. Love her very much and look up to her always. She creates all of the artwork and illustrations for us.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. She's incredible.
She's incredible. And I always laugh because our relationship is very funny, where I give absolutely no input and she comes back with the most amazing designs. Yeah.
Well, you trust her lead, you know? You know her strengths.
She gets it. She understands. She gets the vibe. She's, you know.
You know what? I knew when I first saw the first kind of images that came out and the cans, I think it was Good Company.
Yes.
I knew right away that it was Allison.
She has such a unique style.
Yeah, just it's the right feeling when you look at the images. It gives you the right feeling.
I'm so happy to hear that. And I think Allison and I have very similar values and like ways of seeing the world. So I feel like there's such a great built-in trust that she's going to create something that feels right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that connection is definitely made and very evident.
Yeah.
You can see it. It's awesome.
So, Jill, we have a few questions that we're going to consistently ask to all our guests.
Ooh, scary.
No, it's good. It's good. So the first question is, what advice do you have for your future self?
I feel like something that I definitely struggle with now is, I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but like living in the moment.
Yeah, that's not cheesy. Yeah. That's like, so hard.
Thinking about the next thing and like, you know, your life is run by to-do lists and... Yeah. And I would like to maybe actually take some steps to figuring out how to do that. Because I often say that, but then just don't do anything. But I think, because I think even looking back at some of, like, some pretty special experiences, I often wonder, was I in the moment? Right. Or was I just thinking about, oh, got to pick up the milk later.
Right.
You know? So I do hope I figure that out. Yes. Yeah.
That's a good one. The next is, how would you define success? Does success mean to you?
I think success means to me, I think being a kind person.
Yeah.
You know, like I think at the end of the day, we're all going to die. So
we just took a turn. We just took a turn.
I always have a way of making it dark. Can't
help. My dad always says that. I'm like, Dad, why do you always got to go there? He's
take
like,
the
well,
turn.
It's true, Jessica.
Yeah.
So I think what's most important is that you're a kind person, I think.
Whole world's thought of success was to be kind. Imagine what kind of world we could be living in.
I think so.
That's a great answer, Jill.
Oh, well, thank you.
Our next one is, what do you wish you knew then that you know now?
When is then?
I knew you were going to ask that.
So like your 20-year-old self, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So do you wish you knew then that you know now, back in your 20s?
Or whenever. Could have been yesterday. Like any experience you've had in the past. What do you wish you knew then that you know now?
I think, and I still struggle with this, I think I am so self-conscious. And I think like even more so when I was in my late 20s, you know, like through that decade. And I wish I could have told myself like, you'll get there. Like you'll figure things out. Like you don't have anything to worry about. Like I think I often felt like I wasn't smart enough or I wasn't pretty enough or whatever, you know? So I think just being able to tell myself that like it's all good. You're good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We're bad for that in our 20s though.
Yeah, our 20s.
Really bad. Our 20s are rough.
I think you start your 20s and there's this pressure of like, mm-hmm. or this false narrative that you're supposed to know exactly what you want to do when you're 18 and start the right path to get there in 4 years and start your job when you're 20, whatever. And it's like, you're a kid. When I look back at myself at 22, I thought I was so old.
I was a baby. A baby.
Yeah. And when I turned 30, I don't know what happened. It was like this new, I don't know, feeling, this new lease on life. I was like, you know what? My 30s are going to be the best decade ever.
Exactly.
Leave that 20-year-old insecurity behind.
I remember making really poor decisions in my 20s. And
that's
like,
what they're for.
And being like, well, what does it matter?
Yeah.
Like, I'm 21, 22, 23. Like, what it doesn't. What I do now isn't going to affect.
Right.
Like, I'll worry about that when I'm 30.
I think I was the opposite. When I was 20, I felt like I was supposed to have it all figured out.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And then
I knew I had time.
I knew I didn't have it figured out, but I thought I was supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I probably relate to that for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
The next one, and this will be an interesting, I was excited to hear your answer because of the nature of your business and owning your own business. How do you manage a work-life balance?
I think, to be honest, I don't.
Right.
I think, but this was something that I was also giving some thought to because I feel like, I don't know, we have an issue at in society of like always like glamorizing the busy,
right?
And how like you almost wear that as a badge of honor, like, oh, I'm so busy. And I find for myself, if I'm not doing that, then I feel like I'm not doing enough. Like,
right.
I feel like if I'm not that busy, then I'm not doing enough and I'm somehow failing.
Yeah.
So I think I still need to work that out. What is the balance? And I think right now, because we are so new, that I don't really expect to have a balance.
Right.
But I do hope that someday I work towards one.
Okay. What is something you've always wondered? So I want you to, or something you might be finding yourself wondering lately. So I want you to finish this sentence. I wonder.
Okay. I wonder. Can I have two responses?
Yes.
Okay. On one side, I always wonder when I get on an airplane, like, where do those little meals come from? And how do they have them tied to your seat? Like, they know if you ordered the healthy option. Like, I just want someone to take me through the whole process.
What a tough act to follow.
Like, I'm just like, how?
It's true, though. Where do they come from? I don't know.
And how are they warmed up? Like, there's a lot of questions there.
If anyone's out there that works for an airline, you'll have to DM us. Let us know. Slide into our DMs immediately and let us know.
Please.
What's the second one?
There's been a lot of lessons learned through COVID. I think the importance of supporting local and like work-life balance. Some of us are learning that probably to a better degree than others. But I think there's been so many interesting lessons learned. And I think in chatting with some people that are involved in local food, whether as a producer or consumer, they have said that COVID has done more to further that movement than so many other initiatives, you know? And I think like giving people the opportunity to change how they work and where they work, you know? Like, but I just hope that we don't have amnesia. You know,
right.
And I think that's something I think about. Like, are these positives, if we can call them those, from the pandemic, are we just going to go back to the status quo, you know, afterwards? Or are we going to be like, yeah, that was an awful time, but we learned some pretty amazing things.
Yeah, that's right. And move forward with those. So thought-provoking to wonder about that. I think you're right. And even the flexibility of allowing your – trusting your employees to work from home –
Yes, exactly.
To get it done, you know, like to understand and encourage that they have lives that operate outside of that.
Yeah.
I do think like we talk about this at work sometimes, but like the concept of time and space that we operate is kind of outdated for how far we've come and the advancements we've made as a society and in technology and et cetera. We don't really need to work 9 to 5 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some industries still do, and that makes sense for some. But not everyone.
No.
And that if that's the standard still, then we're kind of behind the times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't make sense, really.
Yes.
Pardon the pun.
Yes.
But, you know, you need to have an understanding of the world operating outside of those hours, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we like to end every episode. This has been so lovely, Jill. I could stay here all night and chat.
I wish you would stay here.
I would love to. Call my husband, see if he's got it under control with the kitties. They should be all asleep, knock on wood. But we like to end each episode with a series of rapid fire would you rather questions. So we'll ask a few simple ones to start, and then we just pick one at random to ask you. Then you let us know what you would rather. All right, Jessica.
Would you rather tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Okay. Ooh, how do you like it?
Ooh, I like it black with milk, with cream. I like it all the ways.
Yum, okay. Yes. Do you like tea?
Picky. I like tea if it's with a dessert, yes. Visiting...
Trudels.
Yes. But coffee is my lifeline. Okay. I love coffee so much.
Do you like iced coffee or hot?
I like hot, and I really love Americanos. Those are my favorite. Yeah, just black.
Yeah, nice. Patty loves those too.
Well, Patty.
Would you prefer white or red for your wine?
Cider.
Yeah. duh. Of course. Yeah.
We'll have to add that to the.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is kind of just our spontaneous one on the spot. But yeah. Would you rather sunbathe at the beach or lounge by the pool?
Sunbathe at the beach. Yes. I will say, though, that the heat makes me cranky. Oh. I do prefer colder climates.
Do you?
I do.
Interesting. Yes.
But, like, how cold? Just spring weather?
Jessica does not like to be cold.
I don't like that, but I don't like the hot, I don't like the heat, or it makes me cranky, too.
I like spring, yeah. Fall.
Me too, Jill.
Yes.
I thrive in the fall.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Fall is the best. That's where it's at.
Okay. Okay. Jill is like the queen of Cape Breton. So she has traveled all around this island. Yes, you know all the spots to go to. You know all the cool spots in all the towns. You camp, you do the whole thing. We call you the Cape Breton Queen in my house. So when we're like, where should we go this summer? Pat will say, why don't you text, you know, your friend, the Queen? And we'll see where we're going. Seriously, we've said that a few times in our household. We're like, let's ask Jill where we should go this summer. So what is your favorite season? Would you rather summer in Cape Breton or winter in Cape Breton?
Gotta go with summer. I know I'm like backtracking because I did say I don't like the heat, but I find our summers are pretty temperate. Yeah. And I love, my favorite thing is camping in Meek Cove. Oh. And it's always like nice and breezy there anyway. Yeah. So, nice. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Summer for sure.
This was a great conversation.
Oh my gosh. I loved it. I can't wait to get you back on. Yep. I could pick your brain about all the things all the time.
The best. Thank you both so much.
You're the best.
For being here and taking this time on top of your 1,000 other responsibilities. So I really appreciate that.
We were really, really looking forward to this. This was also our first live podcast recording. So we've done most of ours over Zoom. This is our first on location, Jill. And we're so happy that it's here in the Cider House with you.
Thank you.
We're going to give you the last word, Jill. So anything you want our listeners to know, anything you want to say, either about the Cider House, about you, about your experience, any words of wisdom, little tidbits, anything at all, you have the last word.
I think maybe if people are thinking about starting a business, particularly as a woman, I would say just find your group of people that are going to support you along the way. And then I think... if you haven't been to Island Folk yet, you should come and stop by. Yes, please. And we're always looking for feedback. So if you come and there's something that you like or you would like to see or you'd like to change, just please reach out on any of our social media. We'd just love to hear from you.
Love it.
And when's the next trivia night?
So our trivia nights are every Wednesday. You have to book on Sundays. We release the reservations on Sundays at noon. So if you can give us a buzz then. That would be perfect. But it's lots of fun. And they're hosted by Nicole Morrison Andrews, who's so funny.
She is funny.
Yes. It's the best.
You've had such a great turnout with that, hey? Like, yes. It's the uptake for trivia night here. It's wild.
It sells out in maybe 30 minutes.
That's amazing. Wow. That's so great. Yeah, that's amazing.
It's really good. Yeah.
That's awesome. That will be our next date night, Jessica.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll get it on the calendar. Can't wait. Well, Jill, it was such a pleasure. It's always so nice to share in your good company.
Oh, I see what you did there. Thank you.
That one? You like that one? We love you dearly. You're a doll.
Thank you. You are both dolls.
Thank you for coming to the meeting today. It was a pleasure to have you at our table. Well, really, we're at your table.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure to be at your table.
We feel really welcomed here, and so I appreciate
it. Oh, good. That's what I want. So I'm very happy to hear that.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining us at the table for this meeting. We are so glad you joined us, like always.
If this episode was interesting, if you enjoyed it,
please subscribe to our podcast, throw us a review, give us a like, visit us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at The Morning Meeting, and you can send us an email to themorningmeetingpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for sitting around our table today. We are so glad you were here with us, and we hope to see you again soon.